WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. We're talking the NFL divisional round. Bengals go into Orchard Park and take down the Buffalo Bills 27-10. Not a great look for the Bills, but a fantastic look for the Bengals. They looked about as ready to compete for a Super Bowl again as I've seen them this season. They played fantastic in the snow. Now they have to go on the road to one of the most difficult places to play in all of football, and that is Arrowhead Stadium, to face the Kansas City Chiefs, who also looked pretty good against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but maybe no Patrick Mahomes, so we'll see how that story develops with his high ankle sprain. I'm on the side of probably not going to play Patrick Mahomes in that game, but we shall see. So, Nicholas, give me your take on what you saw with the Bengals in what was a pretty dominant performance against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think they just were able to control. They got off to a great start, first off. I mean, starting out, first two possessions, go right down the field and score with ease. It's perfect to have a good start in the playoffs. You don't want to fall behind early. That's what hurt the Bills, is they weren't really able to get off to a good start. But their defense, the Bengals' defense was fantastic in that game, especially that pass rush of Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson being able to get home on their blitzes. And especially, I thought Mike Hilton played good. I mean, as much hate as people give Eli Apple, I thought he played pretty good. And Von Bell also had a good game. So I think they know the Chiefs well, so that's good for them. They've had Patrick Mahomes' number the last three that you said. So I feel like the Bengals fans should be happy where they're at and should be really optimistic and confident going in the Arrowhead.
Yeah, it certainly makes things a little bit easier in terms of game planning on defense, mm-hmm. when maybe you're looking at Chad Henne as yep. the quarterback, not as mobile as Patrick Mahomes, and you can certainly bring some more pressure, run some more blitzes, and maybe hit home a little bit mm-hmm. more in terms of sacks and tackles for a loss. Yep. So that'll make it a little bit more difficult for Andy Reid and, you know, Eric Bieniemy and the offensive coaching staff of the Chiefs to get creative with their running game and pass game, given the fact that this Cincinnati Bengals defense is playing really well. And you're going to have to trade points when you have an offense with Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, and all of the other elite players that they have on that offense, Hayden Hurst, T. Higgins, and the list goes on there. So the Bengals will be headed to the AFC Championship game for back-to-back years. That is the first time in franchise history the Bengals will be going to back-to-back AFC Championship games. Let's see if they can get past the Chiefs and go to back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think another thing is that what's good about the Bengals, whenever they play the Chiefs, like last year, if you go back to that second half, they were able to contain Mahomes in the pocket. And they were able to not let him run. He was able to just run around the pocket, and they were still able to contain him and catch him. So if his movement is not very good, I feel like that definitely gives the Bengals pass rush a huge advantage, especially if the Chiefs O-line isn't able to hold up on that. That's why I think the big key for this game will be the Chiefs run game.
I completely agree. It's going to be a great matchup. We'll have to see how things shake out. Chiefs are going to have to lean on that run game, and hopefully Patrick Mahomes will be ready to go. But again, high ankle sprain, I'm just not so sure, right? Yeah. Alabama fans know Tua had two high ankle sprains in both of his legs and had tightrope surgery. It feels like because Patrick Mahomes was able to come back in the game and play, maybe it's not going to require surgery, but that's not an injury that you just ice for a couple days mm-hmm. and you're good to go. So if Patrick Mahomes plays, he certainly won't be at 100%. All right, the last game of the weekend for the NFL divisional rounds. Dallas traveled to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. And I got to say, the game was a lot closer than I thought. Both defenses played phenomenal. neither offense really could get anything going. San Francisco walks away with the victory, 19-12. But, you know, given the talent difference here and the line of scrimmage difference, I thought San Francisco would win this game by a larger margin. Brock Purdy did not play fantastic in this game, right? 19 of 29. He had a little over 200 yards, but zero touchdowns and a passer rating of only 87.4. Brock Purdy, a really interesting story, right? The underdog, Mr. Irrelevant. Everybody loves him. But he had some things to say about Nick Saban this past couple weeks. And about Nick Saban on the recruiting trip when Brock Purdy was coming out of high school. He said Nick Saban called him below average for the position. And when you look at the NFL and the rest of the quarterbacks, he is, in fact, below average. He said, Brock Purdy says, Nick Saban called his arm strength whatever. And it certainly isn't anything special. He doesn't have a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen arm. And he said his accuracy is average. Well, it made it seem like Nick Saban didn't like Brock Purdy. The part that Brock Purdy left out was the fact that Alabama offered Brock Purdy a full-ride scholarship to join the Crimson Tide and be an Alabama Crimson Tide player. So Brock Purdy, obviously, either withholding the truth or flat-out lying about his experience with Nick Saban, I'm not sure what's emboldened him to do so, but us Alabama fans need to be aware, we offered him a full-ride scholarship. And that was Brock Purdy who decided to turn it down. I guess he felt like he couldn't compete in our quarterback room and would never see the field. So we went to Iowa State instead to play in the Big 12. So not a fan of Brock Purdy at the moment. You know, don't diss on Nick Saban, especially when it's an outright lie. However, the 49ers are playing fantastic right now. And it's not hard to see why when you have Kyle Shanahan scheming open all of these weapons that they have, right? Elijah Mitchell got a surprising amount of carries in this game, and Christian McCaffrey really was kind of ineffective against this defense for the Cowboys. So, Nicholas, give me your takeaway here. This was a lot closer of a game than I think some people expected. What were you seeing, especially from the 49ers in this game?
49ers, the big thing was the Cowboys pass rush was able to get to Brock Purdy and speed up his clock a little bit to maybe make a mistake, but he did not make that rookie mistake that everybody thought was going to happen to be the big key. I mean, Trayvon Diggs dropped a pretty easy interception, which led to a San Francisco touchdown, which probably was one of the plays of the game right there. But again, what you said, bringing back Elijah Mitchell off IR, you have Christian McCaffrey, and then Debo Samuel getting carries. How do you stop this team on offense? I mean, Brock Purdy does not need to play at an MVP level. He can just do his thing like Jimmy G did and Trey Lance did. I mean, when you have George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, and Brandon Ayuk to be able to throw to, I mean, it's just elite-level talent around him. So he's got... He's still got his work cut out for him. Going to Philly will not be easy at all. He's going to have to play not like a rookie. He's going to have the guts and the poise and not make those mistakes and just keep playing turnover-free football. And the Giants' defense is just going to keep giving him chances to go in, drive down the field, and carry this offense into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is a fantastic defense. Obviously, the defense coordinator for San Francisco, former Alabama All-American D'Amico Ryans, certainly a guy that we would love to see come to Alabama and fill our empty defensive coordinator position. I don't think that's happening, though. Not when you're getting multiple interviews to be an NFL head coach, at least, which he is.
Yep.
But this is a great defense for the 49ers. When you look, they had a sack, but 60 tackles, three tackles for a loss on the game, right? Four quarterback hits. Was really good. But also, you know, look at the other side. I felt like Dan Quinn did a fantastic job with this defensive game plan, right? 82 tackles for the Cowboys. They had two sacks and four tackles for a loss. Four quarterback hits as well. So both defenses played really well. I just felt like when you look at things, the line of scrimmage advantage for the 49ers was so blatantly obvious when you have guys like Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa rushing against a rookie and left tackle there. It was just not going to be the same in terms of the line of scrimmage, right? You need another elite defensive tackle and maybe another great pass rusher to go alongside Michael Parsons. And the O-line for the 49ers is also one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. So now, you know, San Francisco will go to Philly to take on the Eagles. That's going to be a fantastic matchup, and we will get into that matchup soon. But just, you know, keeping on this game, Brett Maher, the kicker for the Cowboys, comes into the game. He missed 4 extra points in the last game against Tampa, and on the first extra point, it's blocked. Right, and I think if most people were watching the broadcast, they heard the commentators say that no matter what, had the kick not been blocked, it was hooked to the left and wouldn't have gone in either way. So Dallas is having to play without really confidence in their kicker. And of course, Tony Pollard getting injured in this game, I think, changed things drastically. Pollard really seemed to be the guy that was giving the Cowboys offense the spark it needed to compete, maybe even win this game. But unfortunately, he, I think, breaks his fibula. And Tony Pollard is a free agent this offseason. He was generating a lot of buzz. Maybe he was going to sign a long-term deal with Cowboys or hit free agency and go somewhere else, make a lot of money. But now, broken fibula, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Pollard. Did Cowboys franchise tag him? Do they sign him? I don't know. But his rookie contract is up, and he is a free agent with a broken fibula at the running back position, no less. And the conversation around most running backs is they don't always have as long of a shelf life as some of the other position players. So we're going to get into our predictions for these upcoming matchups here in the championship round. The Chiefs will be taking on the Bengals, and we kind of already talked about this, right? The Bengals have won every game the past 3 games straight, and potentially Patrick Mahomes doesn't play in this game. Now, it is at Arrowhead, but Joe Burrow certainly accustomed to playing in loud environments, being here in Tuscaloosa whenever he was the quarterback in 2019 at LSU. And having played in Arrowhead before, he knows what that stadium is like. So, Nick, give me real quick, who do you have winning the AFC Championship game this weekend?
Man, with the question marks around Patrick Mahomes' health, give me Joe Shiesty and the Bengals, man. I just love that team. They're just gritty. I mean, they move down the field with ease. I mean, I love Jamar Chase, love T. Higgins. I just feel like that team's been there. So last year, especially, they've been there. They played at the Chiefs, and they just have the Chiefs' number right now. Winning the 3 straight games against them, I just feel like Zach Taylor has Andy Reid's number right now, and I feel like they're going to keep rolling in the back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take the Bengals as well, and I'm going to take them by 10. And that game will be at 5:30 this upcoming Sunday, so be sure to tune in and watch that game. But stick around for the next segment here of the student section, because we're going to break down the NFC Championship game and give you our prediction for that matchup between the 49ers and the Eagles coming up next.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. Given our predictions for the championship games here for the NFL, The Chiefs obviously will host the Bengals Sunday at 5:30. Both me and Nicholas here feel pretty confident the Bengals will take this one and head to their second straight Super Bowl, which will be the first time that happens for the Bengals franchise. Just the uncertainty with Patrick Mahomes and the recent track record with the Bengals, I feel like that's probably going to happen there. When you look on the other side, I think there's a little more debate here about which of these teams is going to walk away with this, because the 49ers are playing at a great level, but the Eagles, in my opinion, are still the best team in the NFL. And when you look at the lines of scrimmage, I think this is going to be key, right? The Eagles have, in my opinion, the best offensive line, but they're going up against, you know, probably the defensive player of the year with Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, an elite interior player, guys at the linebacker position like Fred Warner. This is going to be a difficult matchup for both of these teams, right? San Francisco's got a ton of great weapons and a really good O-line, but at the same time, Philadelphia has one of the best defensive line rooms in the NFL right now and are towards the top of the NFL in terms of creating pressure and getting sacks. This will be interesting. In terms of predictions, I don't know which way to go here, but I'm going to lean Eagles to win, but I'm only going to take them by 3. I think it may come down to a last-second field goal for the Eagles. So, Nicholas, give me your predictions for the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, going out to Philly, I don't think the weather will be too much of an issue for San Francisco, because that's the type of football they like to play. I like to play grind, line of scrimmage football, pound, ground and pound football. I think the big thing is, I think Brock Purdy, the key for the Niners to win is if Brock Purdy does not make any mistakes. The key for the Eagles is to try to make Brock Purdy play like Mr. Irrelevant and play like a rookie. And Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders just play phenomenal ball. I'm winning Eagles also, because that home field advantage better. I feel like position, if you go up and down the roster, that's probably the most talented football team I've seen in a while. At every position, you could say, you could argue there's a Pro Bowler at every single position for them. And I just think coaching advantage is definitely with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers staff, but if we're going by pure players, I'm going to give it to Eagles, and I think home field, I mean, Philadelphia is going to be rocking, might burn down regardless of what outcome happens. And I think the Eagles are going to win this game. I think probably low scoring. I'm going to say like 24-17. I think it'll be a 7-point game. But one turnover, I feel like Brock Purdy will have at least one interception, maybe a fumble or something. That will change that game completely.
Interesting. So you're going low scoring there. That's pretty interesting to see. You know, both of these teams have really great offenses, but obviously they also have really good defenses to go along with it. So I think it'll be an interesting matchup, you know. And my biggest thing is, if the Eagles can make Brock Purdy uncomfortable, and if they can get him on the ground, I think the Eagles are going to win this game. Jalen Hurts being as athletic and mobile as he is, you know, that's something that San Francisco doesn't really have to contend with in the division outside of Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray hasn't played a ton this year anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how this game shakes up. You know, great players for both teams. You look at the offensive line for both of these teams, defensive line for both of these teams. The line of scrimmage is probably going to determine this one. So, our predictions for the Super Bowl, I've got the Eagles and the Bengals, and you've got the same, correct? Eagles and Bengals. So, we'll see if we're right, you know, and hey, maybe next week we'll be talking about Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl. Who knows? But I feel like the Eagles and the Bengals will win this one. And you know, another interesting note, the Eagles, when they get into the playoffs and win a playoff game, they win the Super Bowl. So the Eagles are like either all or nothing I'm pretty sure that's the Eagles. Or might have been the Giants. I don't know. One of those teams, they just either go all the way or they don't win a playoff game at all.
I think that was the Eagles.
I think it is the Eagles. I'm not entirely sure. This is the first time that they've made an AFC Championship game since 2017, and we all know what happened that year. The Eagles won the Super Bowl, took down Tom Brady and the Patriots, which is a nice segue into our next segment here. Tom Brady, obviously not in the playoffs anymore after Tampa Bay got knocked out, by Dallas. And it feels like Tom Brady's time in Tampa has come to an end. And now the question is his time in the NFL as a quarterback also coming to an end, or will he move on? So, you know, I have a feeling now that he's divorced and he's not got that, you know, solid family unit to go back to, he might look to stay another year, right? So let's say Tom Brady does decide to stick around for a final year. Where do you think he'll go?
Man, I could see him in so many spots. I mean, I could see him back in New England for all we know. I mean, I could definitely see him in Las Vegas to reunite with Josh McDaniels. I could see him following Sean Payton, wherever that is. That could be wherever. I mean, that could be Houston, could be, I mean, Carolina. And then especially Titans need a quarterback. Titans could be calling. Nashville's always calling. Who knows where Tampa, where Tom's going to be? I mean, Tampa Bay, as they would call, is that era is going to be ending, especially with the question marks around OC, Todd Bowles, as a coach. Yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see. I mean, especially he's going to be taking off more, especially as you could see during practices, he would miss so many practices with spending time with family and his kids. So if a team wants to be able to take on to that, which, I mean, he's still playing at elite level. He did not have his best years, but he still looks good. Arm talent still there. So, I mean, any team would want him, really.
Yeah, you know, and I think what you mentioned about spending time with his family might really come into play here because, you know, in the past it felt like maybe San Francisco. He grew up a San Francisco fan out on the West Coast. Maybe that was an option for him. He's the kind of quarterback that you want in that Shanahan offense, in that system, an incredibly intelligent quarterback who can make sure you get into all the right checks and everything. Look at his season stats here. He threw for 4,694 yards, 25 touchdowns, which was tied for 8th in the nation, and 9 interceptions, QBR of 52.5, which was 18th, so bottom half of the NFL, not great. But like you mentioned, questions at offensive coordinator, and really just an aging team, right? You look at the defensive side, older guys in the secondary, obviously offense. You've had some churn at offensive line. Leonard Fournette's getting older. Julio Jones is at the very, very end of his career, it feels like. There's just a lot of aging players. Now, there are still stars, but they're getting older, and it just feels like Tom Brady's time in Tampa is over. Now, the question then becomes, does he retire? Now, like you mentioned with the Patriots, I could even see him signing a one-day deal with the Patriots and retiring as a Patriot, right? You know, former Alabama safety, Clinton Dix is, I think, the most recent example. Last played for the 49ers, but spent, you know, was drafted by and spent most of his career with Green Bay. So leaves 49ers and he signs a one-day contract with Green Bay and retires as a Green Bay Packer. So maybe Tom Brady decides to do something like that. I don't know. There seemed to be a little bit of animosity between him and Bill Belichick at the very end of their relationship together in New England. So maybe that's really not reasonable. But yeah, it's an interesting spot. You know, he's friends with Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and it feels like they are looking to move on from Ryan Tannehill sometime soon. He's not an elite franchise quarterback. To me, he's a bridge guy. someone that you can kind of use to win a lot of games and maybe get to your franchise quarterback. Malik Willis was not ready to play this season. They bring in Josh Dobbs, who had been like a career practice squad guy. And yeah, the quarterback situation in Tennessee is not great. But at the same time, they're also looking for an offensive coordinator, so you still have questions there. And there's not a ton of elite weapons, right? I mean, Robert Woods is okay. Westbrook Akina is okay.
Yeah, Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks is kind of...
problems already.
Yeah, not the healthiest of players and hasn't really turned into the A.J. Brown level of guy that they thought. So I don't know if that's necessarily feasible. But I'll tell you what's interesting. You bring up Sean Payton, right? For those who don't know... Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, was fined and had a forced leave of absence, as well as coughed up a first-round draft pick this offseason because he was caught colluding with Tom Brady and Sean Payton this offseason to potentially bring them both in to Miami, Sean Payton to be the head coach and Tom Brady to be a partial owner and then eventually the starting quarterback. So it seems like Sean Payton and Tom Brady want to work with each other at some point before their careers end. Obviously, Tom a lot closer to his playing career ending than Sean Payton, his coaching career end. So perhaps maybe a place like Carolina, who has interviewed Sean Payton and is close enough to Miami where Tom Brady can still be around his family, maybe that's an option, right? So I don't know. We'll have to see. I think it would take a very special situation for Tom Brady to come back. Like you mentioned, the Raiders, right? They've got the offensive skill players, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, and of course...
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, upcoming free agency, so who knows where he's going.
Yeah, right. I would think the Raiders would want to sign him, but you never know.
Yeah.
I would expect them to sign him to a long-term deal. He was the best running back in the NFL this season.
Fantastic year.
So maybe that's an option, but then again, the offensive line isn't great, and Tom Brady's 45 years old, and I don't know if he wants to be taking those kind of hits. Again. The defense is not great in Las Vegas. So really, to me, the one place that if they called him, I feel like he would do really well is San Francisco, but I don't know if that's even on the table, given how far away it would be from his kids. But hey, there's another quarterback, also with the number 12, who is contemplating retirement, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers obviously didn't make it to the playoffs this year at Green Bay. Green Bay, you know, having some difficulties with their offense kind of early. A lot of young receivers trying to get them worked into the offense and letting them develop. Aaron Rodgers is not about a rebuild. He says he wants to go to a place where they can compete immediately. So what are some of the places, you know, that you're looking at maybe if Aaron Rodgers decides to leave Green Bay?
I'm starting to think maybe reuniting with Devontae Adams. I mean, that I don't know if a team wants it. I know he's elite level MVP winner, quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, but that huge contract that the Packers were forced into signing, I don't know if a team wants to be able to take on that contract right away. Like, I could see the Raiders. That's really the only team I could see. I can't really see another team unless if he wants. I mean, if he doesn't want to contend right away, maybe Nashville. That's still a team I like that could contend with a better quarterback, but there's not many teams that need quarterbacks that can win now. Maybe the Saints, but the Saints,
Yeah, I'm not a massive Dennis Allen fan. I don't dislike the guy. I think he's a great guy, but in terms of head coach, I don't necessarily love him. For the Saints. Like you mentioned, Tennessee, though, you know, good relationship with Mike Vrabel as well. So maybe that's an option. He goes to Tennessee and maybe they spend a lot of money in the offseason trying to get some receivers for him. Maybe they draft a receiver or two for him just so that way he has some more options to throw to. But that's not a great division, right? The Colts, again, they're in, you know, trying to figure out a couple different facets of their team. The Texans are not very good at all. The Jaguars seem to be pretty good, And they're getting better, but they're still the Jaguars, right? You know, so perhaps Tennessee can win that division with Aaron Rodgers and compete for, you know, something a little more in the playoffs. But with me, Aaron Rodgers, it just, I have this feeling that he's not going to leave Green Bay.
Yeah, I think the relationship with him and the team, it's kind of broken a little bit, especially, I think Randall Cobb, I think they might cut him. Alan Lazard is a free agent, so they might break some of the ties with some of his teammates that he's very close with, so he may not like that, so he might be trying to demand a trade out, so who knows.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to keep up with for sure, and especially Jordan Love, when he played this year, he did show some flashes, and maybe fans want to move on from Aaron Rodgers drama and look ahead to the future.
That's another thing you have to consider with the Green Bay is they've got a quarterback who is every year flirting with retirement. And I think that's probably part of the reason why Davante Adams left is he was tired of quarterback controversy and quarterback questions. And like you mentioned, Julian Love, he did play pretty well, actually. And I feel like he could probably be a starter for the Packers next season if Aaron Rodgers decides to leave somewhere else. Another place that's kind of popped up for me with Aaron Rodgers is the Jets. The Jets, Breece Hall was really good at the running back position as a rookie. They've got a couple of pieces at the receiver position. Their offensive line is not bad, and their defense is fantastic under Robert Sala. So perhaps the Jets are a team to watch, depending on how they approach the whole Zach Wilson situation.
Another team to look out for, especially, is the Baltimore Ravens, on whether they decide to pay Lamar, which I think they should, or franchise tag him, or let him walk, and they could maybe make a move for Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. That's another dark horse team if they decide to let Lamar walk.
That'll be interesting to see. I don't know if either of those guys really fit the scheme, right? Because it's kind of built around their running quarterback and running the ball so much. And Tyler Huntley, it does that to a decent enough degree to kind of be a bridge for the Baltimore Ravens as they adjust after.
They'll be looking for a new offensive coordinator as well, because I believe they fired Greg Roman last week.
Yeah, Greg Roman, mutual parting of ways is what it seems. So it looks like Greg Roman's not really interested all that much in returning as the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Of course, if I'm the Ravens, I'm going to do everything I can to try and get Lamar Jackson back, except for maybe give him that like 5-year fully guaranteed deal that Deshaun Watson has. Yeah. So there's a lot of information, you know, going out there, and we'll probably talk about the Lamar Jackson situation. What can they do? Non-exclusive franchise tags, and how can the Ravens approach that situation? But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, both contemplating retirement, and I think probably contemplating maybe going out onto the open market and looking for a new home. And maybe they go somewhere else. Maybe they don't. Maybe they both retire. I don't know. But either way, it's been fun to watch them, you know, both at Green Bay and at Tampa, and obviously Tom previously at the Patriots. So, you know, hopefully we'll get to see them for at least one more year. But if not, if they decide to retire, man, what
career.
Historic career they've each had. It's been truly fantastic. So that is all that we have for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week as we continue to talk about the NFL and the playoffs. Will break down everything that happened in the championship game, give you our in-depth preview of the Super Bowl, continue to give you updates on all the happenings with all of the major players in the NFL and in college. And make sure to keep listening even after the Super Bowl. We've got a lot of football stuff to talk about. If you want to be the most informed person in your office break room, and you want to be able to make sure that you know all of the names of the upcoming players on your favorite college football team, this is the place to be. So, with that, thank you so much for listening to the Student Section, and we will see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.